High Adventure. Tonight, Ron Evans takes us to the Himalayas for his gripping story called The Snow Monster.
No, Tom, I shall stay here in the meager comfort of this shabby hotel. And every evening you can come and tell me about your climbing adventures.
I'm not expecting you to go climbing mountains, Aunt Lydia.
I should certainly hope not. I came to this Indian subcontinent to see the way the other half lives, my boy. Not to risk my neck. It's very precious to me.
Actually, all I was going to suggest was a walk up to Caramore. That's a small village only 3 miles from here.
Uphill?
Well, yes, sort of.
Well, then I suggest you ask those other climbers you've been talking to. I mean the American and the Italian fellows.
They're here to go mountaineering, not sightseeing.
What on earth is going on over there, Tom? There seems to be a bit of a hubbub. Isn't that a Nepalese policeman talking to the other guests?
I have no idea, Aunt Lydia.
Oh, we shall soon find out. He's coming over this way. I say, excuse me, officer.
Yes, madam.
What is all the excitement?
Two of the hotel guests were climbing on the eastern slopes yesterday. I was asking if they had seen anything unusual.
For instance?
3 sheep were found mutilated early this morning, and at least 10 are missing.
I doubt if the hotel guests are likely to indulge in sheep-stealing, Constable.
Inspector, madam, I am Police Inspector Mansoor. I was not suggesting that the guests are responsible. Footprints were found around the carcasses. Very strange ones, madam. Big. 1/2 meter long and 1/4 meter wide.
What is that in proper measurements, Tom? Oh, never mind. It sounds big. Sure you don't have elephants up here, do you, Inspector?
There is the legendary Yeti, madam. The mysterious and huge ape-like creature that lives in the snows of the Himalayas.
Oh, yes, yes, I've heard of it. Oh, such nonsense.
But it could exist, Aunt Lydia.
Like pigs that nest in trees?
It has been seen by some from a distance. This is the 5th time we have found tracks on sheep stolen this year.
But where were these tracks, the ones made last night, I mean?
1 mile from here up the slope. Well, some of your fellow guests expressed a wish to see them, so one of my constables is taking them. Would you like to go, sir?
Oh, I'd love to.
I'll stay here and finish my knitting. Snow monsters indeed.
Sundown in Wyoming, the big country, where a buzzard swings low and summer grass is waist high to a full-grown man. A land you can challenge but never change. The reward of the great outdoors. That feeling of freedom. Your kind of life? Then Paul Revere is your kind of cigarette. Rich in flavor, big on taste. Paul Revere, the pride of tobaccos.
Now at Sun City's Galaxy Show Bar, Ballyhoo. The exciting Ballyhoo appearing nightly, plus special guest star over weekend, Leslie Ray Dowling. Ballyhoo and Leslie Ray Dowling now at Sun City. Take the special weekend package, plus casino dinner and show, R24.80. Book at CompuTicket. Ticket.
Was an overseas trip, want a bike or a car, go on, seek your dream, it's not very far.
I did. An Allied gave me their Dream Builder leaflet, which shows how common sense investing, like subscription shares, can reap uncommon RAND rewards. So pick up your Allied Dream Builder leaflet and come closer to your dream than you ever thought possible. People you can talk to.
Thank you. It was the third tour on which my Aunt Lydia had asked me to accompany her. Until 2 years ago, she had never been out of England, but after the death of my wealthy Uncle George, she'd set about doing all the things she felt she'd missed in life. Being a writer with few credits, her invitations were welcome and helped to widen my knowledge of places and people. The report of a possible Yeti in the area was the first really dramatic incident that had happened on our journey. The trip up to the place where the dead sheep had been found was along a tortuous, narrow road with cliff on one side and a steep drop on the other. The country was fairly well wooded in the valleys, but now all was coated in a thick layer of crisp snow. There were 8 of us in the hotel bus, not counting the driver, all of them keen mountaineers who were here to test their skill on the lower reaches of the Himalaya mountain range. I sat with the two I'd met earlier, an American, Paul Grogan, and an Italian, Mario Capalli.
If there's a Yeti around, I want to find it.
A very big if, my friend. No one has ever actually proved such a creature exists.
Well, there is that famous photograph.
I have seen it. Indistinct. Easy to fake.
If I remember rightly, didn't the guys on the first successful Everest climb find a Yeti's footprints?
Yes, I think so.
So, men like that are not going to tell lies, are they?
I will admit, its existence is possible. But is it not strange that after all this time, nothing is really known about it?
Well, that's because it's supposed to live in one of the most difficult and inaccessible places in the world.
Well, not today, my friend. No, there are men who go to the Arctic and Antarctic to study animal life. The Himalayas present no great problem. The lower slopes are swarming with climbers.
That's true, I guess. And all of them here just so they can go back home and boast they've been climbing in the Himalayas.
Are you in that category, Paul?
Well, I suppose I am, yeah. To raise a few eyebrows in Clairville, Ohio.
Well, if you're going to go looking for this Yeti, may I join you?
Sure, you're welcome. You too, Mario.
Well, thank you. I will. But, you know, it would be like trying to find a needle in a haystack after somebody has stolen the needle.
The bus came to a stop on a wide snow-covered plateau, about 2 miles square, fringed on two sides by steep hills, with dense forest on the other two sides. We disembarked and were introduced to a fur-clad man called Kibal, who was a local farmer and our guide for the rest of the journey. We followed him through the snow to the nearest fringe of trees, and there he showed us what was left of the sheep. It was a gory sight.
And there you will see the footprints of the Yeti, clear as though they have just been made, sir.
Gee, will you take a look at that?
Yes, it's very impressive.
Well, Mario, what do you say now? Are you still in doubt?
I don't know. Tell me, where do the footprints lead? Has anyone followed them?
I have. They go into the forest and then disappear.
What do you mean, disappear?
Inside the forest, it is not deep snow like this. Many parts have no snow on the ground at all. After leaving a trail in the snow, the Yeti went onto the dry ground, which is very hard and leaves no footprints.
Well, a few tracker dogs could solve that problem.
These carcasses, the sheep were yours?
No, sir. My farm is far over there. I was told to guide you because my English is good.
I wish we could find someone who's actually seen this beast.
The Yeti, sir? I've seen him twice.
What? You have really seen? Close up?
As close as 50 feet. It was on my farm and it ran away when it saw me. Both times, sir.
Tell me, Kibal, what did it look like?
Tall, sir. Much taller than a man and covered in long white fur. It stood upright like a man, sir, on two legs. And it ran very fast, faster than a man can run.
Gee, I've got to find this thing. It'll give me credit with a capital C.
Did it make any sound?
Yes, sir. A roar. An angry roar.
And what time of the day did you see it?
Very early in the morning, soon after dawn. That is when it goes hunting.
Has anybody else around here seen a Yeti?
If they have, they are keeping quiet about it.
Why do you say that?
For fear of being laughed at. The people are very shy, and they fear ridicule.
Then why are you so readily telling us?
I know the truth, sire. The Yeti lives down in the forest, and it is foolish to hide the truth. Say, there could be a whole tribe of them. Just think of that, fellas. That is what I say. Look in the forest, and you will find many Yeti.
Man, that's just what I am going to do.
I think it's all stuff and nonsense, Thomas.
There's too much evidence to the contrary, Aunt Lydia. Something killed those sheep and left the footprints.
Like a man's feet, you say?
Yes. Yes, they were. Only they were three times the size.
Really? Quite extraordinary.
Almost indisputable.
I remember. It was called the Abominable Snowman at one time. And tracks have been found many times. They were eventually discovered to have been caused by stones falling from the higher slopes and bouncing along the ground. Or by bears, which I believe have a habit of putting one foot directly in front of the other when walking on their hind legs. That leaves a print curiously like a gigantic human footprint the other way about.
You seem to know a lot about it.
Oh, I'm an avid reader, my dear boy. Besides which, I also have a good memory for facts.
There were no slopes where stones could have fallen from, though.
And the bear theory?
Well, I can't be sure about that. But Kibal, the fellow who acted as our guide, he's seen the Yeti twice on his farm.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And did you all give him a large tip?
Well, yes.
He's earned it, then.
What do you mean?
It's the same all over, Thomas. The bigger the story a guide tells, the bigger his tip will be at the end. A commercial fact, my dear boy.
You're a cynic, aren't you?
A realist. And you are an idealist. You'd like a real live Yeti to be found. Therefore, you can easily believe anything you hear about it. Like some people do of flying saucers, Loch Ness monsters, and things of that nature. Oh, I've been on this earth too long to believe in such arrant nonsense.
It's no good talking to you.
Go and talk to your foreign friends, then. They'll take you on this wild Yeti chase, and I hope you enjoy it.
Well, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'll be back before dinner.
My, my. He's a fanatical idealist.
Take the Land Ranger up this track here. That's as far as it can go. We climb up here to the ridge and right down the other side of the valley.
How long will that take?
If we make an early start, we can be camped in the valley by, say, 6 tomorrow afternoon.
Well, that sounds fine to me, Paul.
All right. Before dawn next morning, we go Yeti hunting.
And this here is the plateau where we saw the footprints.
Yeah, that's right. 8 miles to the north.
So we can work our way through the forest to the plateau. Yes, you've planned it well, Paul.
There's just one big problem left.
Huh? Well, I don't see one.
Seeing how this thing's so darn big, how do we haul a dead Yeti all the way back?
Did you say a dead Yeti?
Hey, I don't run a bring him back alive show, Tom. A dead one's going to be trouble enough.
Now, wait a minute. We can't just kill it. I mean, it isn't right.
Are you suggesting we just take pictures of it?
Yes, of course.
And get accused of faking them? No fear.
But if we take enough, plus a movie film of it, nobody dare accuse us of that.
I agree with Tom. It would be shameful to kill such a rare creature.
Well, it looks like I teamed up with a pair of conservationist freaks.
And I'll tell you this. I go unarmed or not at all.
Ah, now, that is crazy. There are all kinds of unfriendly animals out there. Bears, for a start.
You know, Paul is right on that point, Tom. I mean, we do need the weapons, but only for self-defense, huh?
Yeah, well, I suppose I must concede that.
So, Paul, do you agree to that? We take weapons only to defend ourselves.
All right, sure. I'll go along with that. You can take the pictures while I cover you.
Right.
I've done a lot of hunting in the past, you know, and even bagged a big grizzly in the Rockies a couple of years back. All the same, a Yeti hat on the wall or a Yeti fur on the floor would sure cause a stir back home.
Mild, is only as flavorful as its tobaccos. The cream of the crop is in Rembrandt van Rijn, the new Superior Mild. A master blend of mild, mature Virginias, skillfully blended for flavor and pleasure. Rembrandt van Rijn, Superior Mild. Sealy Posturepedic, designed in cooperation with American orthopedic surgeons for no morning backache from sleeping on a too soft mattress.
Wake up to the great Sealy feeling. Sealy Posturepedic makes every day okay. Sealy Posturepedic.
In 1935, only one airline, Pan Am, stood poised on the edge of America, ready to challenge the Pacific. And today, the mighty clippers of Pan Am rise majestically from six continents for the far corners of the world. Where will we fly to next? Well, we've been thinking.
The journey by vehicle was hair-raising, to say the least, and the climb up to the ridge was even worse. At 2 that afternoon, we stood up and looked out over the densely wooded valley, a partly frozen stream running through its center. The trees were covered in a light dusting of snow, and to the east could be seen deep snowdrifts blown there by the wind. 4 miles across the valley, the ground rose gently to form the plateau where we had been taken to see the Yeti's footprints.
Now that's what I call picturesque. Take a couple of photos, Mario.
I am.
Look, all you're doing is fiddling with that camera.
Well, you understand, I need a light yellow filter to correct the color.
Okay, so you're the expert. Gee, just think, somewhere down there is a family of abominable snowmen just waiting to be discovered by us.
Yeah. Well, you know, we could follow that stream.
Yeah, that'll make easy going. Ready to start climbing down, Mario?
A moment. After you, Paul.
It was a steep descent, made difficult by deep snow that had collected in a number of crevices. But once on level ground among the tall trees, it became a lot easier. There was only a thin sprinkling of snow on the ground, and frequent patches with no snow at all. We watched the ground looking for telltale footprints. We found many, all small and probably made by deer and lesser wildlife. But suddenly, Paul Grogan stopped away to our left.
Hey, fellas, come and take a look at this.
What, you found something?
You can bet your shorts on it, boy.
Yeah.
That's interesting, but a bit small, don't you think?
Granted, but I guess there must be young Yetis.
I thought you said you hunted bear in the Rockies, Paul.
You're going to tell me that they're bear prints?
Well, I would say they are the right size and shape.
Let's take a look there. If you look closely, you can even see the tiny points made by the claws. You see them?
Yeah, you do.
They're bear prints, Paul. And they look nothing like the prints we saw up on the plateau.
Paul, you're letting your imagination take over.
Well, you never know, do you? Well, they could have been made by a young Yeti. Maybe you're right about it being a bear.
Come on. We must be close to the stream by now.
The water was running quite strongly along the middle of the stream from the melting ice at its source. But it was still frozen solid along its sides, and it was thick enough to walk on.
I reckon if we're going to find these Yeti, we'll have to follow the stream east to where the forest is thicker. And I lay any odds, that's where they live. What do you say, fellas?
Yeah, you're right. I agree.
East, west, I'll follow.
Now, we've about 3 hours of daylight left, so we can make 4 miles and then camp.
Hey, what was that?
Man, that could be what we're looking for.
Remember what we said about that rifle, Paul. Only in self-defense.
Okay. You don't have to keep repeating it.
Over there. It's in those trees.
It could be a bear, you know.
Get your cameras to the ready while I go and take a look.
I'll try and lure it out into the open.
It would be better if he stayed here and waited.
Whatever it is, it might be shy of humans. Not that many come this way. Mario, I think he's going a bit close to you.
He's doing bad to us.
Paul Grogan was less than 6 feet from the screen of trees and bushes when suddenly they were opened and a huge brown bear appeared, rearing up on its hind legs. Grogan staggered back in shock and tried to raise the rifle. The bear lurched forward and knocked it from his grasp and then clasped him in a death hug, its teeth snapping at his neck. Even as the bear gripped the American, Mario darted forward and snatched up the fallen rifle. He put it close to the creature's head and then... The bear loosened its grip on Grogan and staggered back. And then, ever so slowly, it fell sideways, dead.
You all right, Paul? A bit shaken and scratched, that's all. Lucky it didn't get its teeth into me. Oh,
thanks, Mario. I owe you one.
Right. Hey, would you look at that? It's a big one.
It's not so big. Not like the big grizzlies you find in the Rockies. I'd have been a dead man by now. Really, a big grizzly can bite off a man's head in one snap.
Maybe. But all the same, you were lucky Mario had the presence of mind to go for the rifle.
Yeah, sure. Thanks again, Mario.
No.
Well, I reckon we'd be better getting on before this fella's mate comes looking for him. Say, Tom, what were you doing during all that excitement?
Me? I was filming it all for posterity. You know, that snip could sell for a small fortune through a good agency.
We camped that night under a cliff and set out shortly before dawn the next day in search of the elusive Yeti. But we found nothing, not even a suspicious-looking footprint. Feeling disheartened, we set out even earlier the following day. And again, we found nothing. Just before dark, we returned to our camp, and Capelli made a meal over the open fire.
This is the last of the food we brought with us. We'll have to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you want to do some hunting, Paul.
Well, I'm for giving up and going back. I mean, there isn't a place in this valley that we haven't searched. What do you think, Paul?
Oh, I hate to give up easily, but I guess you're right, Tom. If there was even just one Yeti around here, we'd have seen some evidence of it by now.
Well, perhaps the Yeti does not live down here. I mean, who is to be sure? You know, I have heard that the Yeti lives higher than this, above the permanent snow level.
Well, if you look at the mountains above the plateau there, you can see it would take years to search the area thoroughly, and well, then maybe find nothing.
So, we go back, right?
Yeah, first thing. We can climb up to the plateau and follow the road back to the hotel.
Yeah, that's a thought, Paul. If we set off early, very early, we could be up on the plateau by, say, well, 6 in the morning, just as it's getting light.
Yeah, so what about it?
Well, we should look into places the Yeti's been seen and left traces. I mean, along the edge of the plateau where the farmers leave their sheep and their goats to graze.
You mean make one last final attempt to find it?
I suppose one day with empty bellies won't harm us, huh?
Well, okay, Tom, I'm all for it. We can strike camp at 3:30 and it'll take, about 2 hours to climb up there in the dark.
We made better time than Paul had estimated in reaching the plateau, and it was still quite dark. We could vaguely make out a few sheep standing over snow-free grass.
We'll move along the fringe where the trees meet the open ground there.
There will be little to see until it gets lighter, you know.
Well, we got ears. Old Yeti might be an elusive fella, but he's no ghost.
I'm trying to get my bearings. If I remember correctly, there's a farmhouse over there, about a mile away.
Yeah, that's about right. We're about a mile west of where we saw the footprints.
Yes, sir. What was that?
What we've been waiting for, something to alarm the sheep. It came from over there. Come on.
Paul, stop here and wait.
We're not close enough.
If it is a Yeti, don't go walking right into its arms like you did with that bear. Use a bit of
caution. Let go of my arm. It could be getting away.
Come here and look.
Yeah, what is it?
That is a dead sheep, huh? Yes. Mutilated. No, don't flash the torch. You can see well enough.
So, the Yeti is here.
Somewhere very close.
Over there.
What? By heaven, I can just make it out. An upright, white figure. Get your cameras and flashes ready, fellas.
Mario and I were already prepared, and I switched on my portable floodlight, starting up the movie camera at the same time.
Oh, there! There it is!
It happened so quickly that Mario and I were helpless to prevent it. Grogan had been standing slightly behind us. The floodlight revealed a figure some 100 yards away, standing upright with a lamb in its arms. It turned to stare at us when... The figure staggered backwards and collapsed, the lamb breaking from its grasp and running free. Mario and I turned to stare in horror at Grogan, who still had the rifle leveled, a wide, triumphant grin on his face.
Man, I just got me a Yeti.
Paulie, you're full.
You promised. That was the only way to really catch it, and I just done it.
Die bedrywige, veeleisende lewe wat jy lei, verg baie van jou maag. Sprankelende, verfrissende Eno aktiewe vrugtesout begin dadelik oortollige maagsuur neutraliseer om jou maag na sy normale toestand te herstel. Eno sit weer lus in die lewe. Eno aktiewe vrugtesout, gewone of verfrissende suurlemoen, noodhulp vir maag.
Count Pushkin, the world's best vodka. Delectably dry, smooth and clean. Count Pushkin, the Imperial Vodka. Judged the world's best vodka at the 1979 International Wine and Spirit Competition and winner of the Double Gold Award. Nazdarovia, a toast to pure, full-strength Count Pushkin, the world's best vodka.
Ford Cortina 3000 GLS. Weer motor wanneer u leefwijze daarna vraagt. Telegraaf. Deftig. Met krachtstiel. Stilstuwende 3 liter 6 cilinder vetverrichting. Plus buitengewone besparing. Cortina 3000 GLS. Wanneer u leefwijze meer motor vraagt.
We approached the motionless figure lying on the ground and stared down at its face with deepening horror. It was the face of a man dressed in white sheepskin.
It is the farmer, the one who told us about the Yeti.
He's dead.
You killed the man, Paul.
Well, I wasn't, no, I thought, but it looked like a Yeti at a distance.
Well, it doesn't change anything, Paul. You shouldn't have used your gun.
But what are we going
to
do?
Well, leave him there and get down to the hotel. It can be reported to the police from there.
They'll lock me up in the dungeon and throw the key away.
No, I don't think so. It was an accident. Mario and I are witnesses.
Yes, witnesses to his gross stupidity.
You are a lucky man, Mr. Grogan. You have killed a man, but fortunately for you, the victim was in the act of stealing sheep, so no charges will be brought against you. However, it would be desirable if you were to leave Nepal within the next 48 hours.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure, Inspector.
He was a prosperous farmer for these parts. He managed this by spreading stories of a prowling Yeti and going out early in the morning to steal his neighbor's stock, leaving behind a few mutilated carcasses to perpetuate the legend.
But the footprints...
Obviously, you did not examine the man's body very closely. He was wearing what at first appeared to be snowshoes, but underneath, there was a sole that made the prints you saw.
Gracious me. I do feel rather let down. Anyway, Thomas, at least you'll have a good story to tell when you get home.
High Adventure is produced by Henry Diffenthal.